Let us pray. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed him to be your Son, anointing him with the Holy Spirit, grant to us who are born again by water and the Spirit that we may be faithful to our calling as your adopted children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. William Williams had this to say about the Jordan River when he penned his great hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. My friends, the imagery of the Jordan River has captured the imaginations of Christians for 2,000 years. But why? What has the River Jordan to do with us? Well, it's a place of deep meaning and importance for God's people. For it is a place of great expectation. Oftentimes the poets describe standing on one side and looking over the river to the other bank. And what lies on that other side of the river is a vast inheritance. We've all heard that old phrase, the grass is greener on the other side. And that is really the idea concerning the longing and the anticipation with this river. But that's not all. The Jordan River is also a place of new beginnings. It is a place where God has showed up repeatedly and shaken up his people with his power. It represented and embodied a fresh start, a clean slate. And this is why when John the Baptist shows up, going from place to place on either bank of this river, people came out to see him. The people anticipated the Messiah. So when John emerges at the River Jordan, it certainly caught the people's attention. For John came preaching repentance and baptism. Repentance! Turn to the Lord and baptism. And he certainly didn't hold back any punches either. But he was not the Messiah. For he answered the people's questions with this: I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So you can bet that his response only intensified the anticipation as the crowds made their way down into the waters of the Jordan. Something was stirring. Someone was on his way. There was excitement down there on the banks of the river. This morning, let us fathom the River Jordan in us. Let us be expectant of new beginnings, of the waters, of rebirth, renewal, and great power. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Luke chapter 3, verse 15, found on page 615. Now the Jordan River, though quite small, has had considerable impact. It is not an impressive river like the Nile or the Amazon. And believe it or not, it seldom is wider than 15 yards, just a little bit longer than a first down in football, something the Cowboys should have done last night. The River Jordan is not a rushing, flowing river either. You won't hear a whole lot of sound from the current. There's a very limited flow, and oftentimes the water is extremely murky. In fact, the river is about 25% mud. I remember the first time I saw it, and my impression was, is this it then? This has caught the hearts of artists throughout the centuries? And the answer was undoubtedly yes. Yes, because the River Jordan is a place of renewal. In 2 Kings 5:12, the Gentile Naaman is told to go to wash in it, and his response was pretty much the same as mine. This is it? This slow zigzag of a river? Are there not greater rivers elsewhere? And Naaman reluctantly washes in these murky, muddy waters, and he is healed of his leprosy. Centuries later, scores and scores of people would go there for another kind of washing and find renewal. But the River Jordan is also a place of incredible power as well. It is the place where Elisha takes up Elijah's mantle. You may remember that there was a chariot of fire. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Elijah is taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha takes up his mantle and strikes the Jordan River with the cloak, and the river divided for him to walk across. So keep these two things in mind. The River Jordan is a place of renewal, and it is a place of great power. The Jordan River was also a place of transitions. It was here that Joshua took over for Moses. For this is the place where Joshua led the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. The people of God would finally have a home that was theirs. No more wandering through the desert. No more sand and everything. The Jordan River was the border of the promised land. All they had to do was cross it, and they would finally, finally be home. A pilgrim people would finally lay down roots. And it is here where the miraculous happens. The Levitical priests carrying the Ark of God take a few steps into the river and they stop. And the flow of these murky waters is cut off upstream, and the river stands up like a wall. Now this is striking. The entire people of Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground like the parting of the Red Sea. The Lord led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground. And he also leads them into the promised land through this river, the Jordan, on dry ground. They now would have an inheritance. Yes, the River Jordan was a place of transition. It was here Elisha took over from Elijah. One man is taken up to heaven. The other begins his prophetic ministry with a double portion. There is a succession here that occurs, and not for the last time either. For it is here again that Jesus takes over for John. So we can see why John's ministry is here. There was a new start for Israel here long ago. It would be here where a new start for them takes place again. And Jesus' baptism endorses the ministry of John the Baptist. But John is only a forerunner. He's not the main event. In Jesus' baptism, God would do a new thing for a new people he was creating for his glory. The expectations would be met. There would be a new beginning, to be sure. And all the events that occurred here at the Jordan River in Israel's history pointed to the main event, Jesus Christ. This was the transition of all transitions. This was the handoff of all handoffs. For it was here at the River Jordan where Jesus begins his earthly ministry. And all this leads us to the next depiction of the Jordan. For it is a place of prayer. Throughout the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, we see that prayer is a common motif. And here at the River Jordan, we see that Jesus' baptism was a prayer experience. Did you know that? His baptism was a prayer experience. Luke is beckoning Theophilus down to the Jordan. Luke is beckoning you and me down to the Jordan. Oh, sisters, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Come on, sisters, let's go down. Down to the river to pray. Oh, brothers, let's go down. Let's go down. Come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down. Down to the river to pray. You see, the Lord speaks in prayer. Did you know this? Did you know that the Lord speaks in prayer? Because a lot of times when we pray, it's just us doing the talking. We say, thank you, Lord. Amen. And we don't wait for him to speak. But he does speak in prayer. It's not just that we speak to him. He speaks to us as well. And it is in the midst of prayer that the heavens open up and God speaks. He speaks from heaven. Like in Exodus and Deuteronomy. And to Jesus, the Father declares, you are my beloved Son, and you bring me great joy. He affirms Jesus and his identity. And the Spirit descends upon and anoints Jesus. You see, the Jordan is a place of renewal, and it is a place of power. And at Jesus' baptism, framed by prayer, we are reminded of the words of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42, verse 1. Look at my servant, whom I will strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring justice to the nations. The Messiah, the new and greater Joshua, will bring justice to all. In the Old Testament, the River Jordan marked Joshua's campaign into the promised land. And now, with Jesus, the River Jordan marked the campaign of the new Joshua, Yeshua, who is Christ the Lord. Amen? And Jesus' name means God saves. The Lord is my salvation. And so in his name, it reveals that salvation will be for all peoples. God's kingdom rule and reign would not just be extended to one people in one land, but would pervade throughout the world to all peoples. And prayer is the weapon Luke describes that Jesus uses the most. For Luke's portrait of Jesus is a life completely bathed in prayer. Pray without ceasing, Paul reminds us. Jesus modeled it. We should follow it. And at the River Jordan, in the context of prayer, we see God's stamp of approval for his new beginning in Jesus Christ. And we see God's power come upon the Lord Jesus with the anointing of the Spirit. This, my friends, is what the River Jordan has to do with us. The place of Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River is basically at the lowest point on earth. The Dead Sea is 1,300 feet below sea level. Where Jesus was baptized was not far away from where the Jordan flows into this dead body of water. And this is oftentimes not emphasized, but it's very, very important. Jesus basically goes to the lowest point on earth to identify with us. You see, Jesus is not just God with us. He's God for us. I'll say that again because we always need to be reminded of it. Jesus is not just God with us, he's God for us. He will go to the lowest place for you and for me. Amen? Amen? And it is here, basically at the lowest point on earth, that we see what God is up to for the sake of the world. From the waters of the Jordan, and then in the communion of prayer, God affirms Jesus' identity. You are my beloved Son. And Jesus is anointed from on high with the power of the Spirit. My brothers and sisters, this is what God longs to do in your life, in my life. He wants to affirm you as his son. He wants to affirm you as his daughter. He wants to clothe you in power with the Spirit so that you may bear good fruit for his glory. Behold, he makes all things new. Hallelujah! The world will see the new beginning in you, and God will be greatly glorified. Jesus left the waters of the Jordan endowed with the Spirit of God. As Gregory of Nazianzus stated, from now on the Holy Spirit will accompany Jesus in his public ministry. For the Spirit is always the Spirit of Jesus. And notice then the relationship between Jesus and the Spirit. Jesus is baptized. The Spirit bears him witness. Jesus is tempted. The Spirit leads him up. Jesus performs miracles. The Spirit accompanies him. Jesus ascends. The Spirit fills his place. I want us all to grasp this. The Spirit of Jesus is also with us and in us. Amen?
Amen.
And like Jesus, our ministry is public, not private. I'll say that again because there's some confusion about that in the church. Our ministry is public, not private. The gospel, the good news, is public truth, not private values. Our faith is public too. And because the Spirit is with us, we are truly children of God by adoption. See that collect I prayed at the beginning that the bishops chose adopted children, as if we're some kind of a different status. We are children by adoption. That is the way that we came in to the family. But we are God's children. And by the Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. We are children who have a new beginning. Children who have experienced a great transition. Children who have known renewal. Children who have been affirmed by a loving Father. Children who have been empowered from on high. Children who live in great expectation for the day when we will cross the Jordan ourselves to a glorious inheritance that awaits us, which was promised to us, a new heaven and a new earth. But a problem I've witnessed throughout my ministry is that oftentimes Christians live as if they are at the lowest place still, as if they are spiritually bankrupt. How can they not know the deep reservoir of power that abides within them? They are God's children, and the Spirit of Jesus lives within us. You know, during the Great Depression, there was a man named Yates who owned a sheep ranch. And Mr. Yates wasn't able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal and the interest on his mortgage. He was in danger of losing his entire property. With little money for food and clothes, his family was barely able to survive. And day after day, as he grazed his sheep over West Texas, he was greatly troubled. He was in deep anguish. Then a crew from an oil company came into the area and informed him there might be oil on his land. And they asked permission to drill a well, and he signed a lease contract. And at 1,115 feet, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. And 30 years after the discovery, a test of one of the wells showed it still had a potential flow of 125,000 barrels a day. And Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the ranch, he had received all the oil and mineral rights, yet he had been living on relief. A multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem was that he was not aware of what lay within. And the same is true with a lot of Christians. I want us at Three Streams to be aware of who we are. I want us at Three Streams to be aware of who is with us. And I want us at Three Streams to be aware of what we are about. When we ask, what has the River Jordan to do with us? We must see, we must know that we are a family on mission. That's our purpose statement here as a congregation, being a family on mission. Knowing that we are royal sons and royal daughters of the living God, knowing that we are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, knowing that we participate with God in His mission to the world. We have an identity, my friends. We have power, and we have a purpose and a mission. Jesus didn't just stay at the Jordan River near the lowest point on earth. He went onward. He went forward, saturated in prayer and filled with great power. And that should be the model and the example for all of our lives. To follow our big brother Jesus. He's made us new to bear much fruit for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
But people say, my life is so tiny, Scott. My life is so insignificant. People say the same thing about the Jordan River. But look at the great acts that God has done there over time. The symbol of the Jordan River is huge for us. It should inspire us. It should encourage us. We may think our lives murky and mundane, but God can use you and me to bring healing. He can use you and me to share about the great new beginning in Jesus, the Messiah. He can use you and me to bring renewal. Why? Because He is with us, and He is for us, and He will never stop. Not ever. He is relentless. So what does the River Jordan have to do with us? Quite a lot, actually. Let us pray. Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed Him to be Your Son, anointing Him with the Holy Spirit, grant to us, who are born of water and the Spirit, that we may be faithful to our calling as Your adopted children, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.